In today's episode, we speak with Timothy Stutz, the Magical Kids book creator. Timothy is a former certified public accountant who is now an author and ordained minister. We say former because Timothy has changed his life and now wants to share his knowledge to help parents be better parents. Listen in.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Earrings Off. We want to invite you to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. You can find us on Facebook at Earrings Off Podcast and on Instagram at The Earrings Off Podcast.
Welcome to Earrings Off. I'm Lou.
And I'm Teresa. Let's get started.
Hello, Timothy, and welcome to Earrings Off.
Hello, Teresa. Wonderful to be with you and Lou today.
Thank you so much. So we're going to get right into the interview, and I'm so excited. Reading with children is one of my favorite things to do. In fact, I participate in a mentoring program where we've done book clubs with children over the summer. So I love this conversation that we're about to have. I'm looking forward to it, I should say. So tell me, when is the best time to start a reading program for children?
When they're in the womb, if possible.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Modern psychologists and saints and sages from thousands of years back have shared that mothers have the opportunity to influence the development of their children starting as early as the fifth month in the womb.
Wow. Yeah, I believe that.
So, Timothy, often children like to hear or read the same story over and over. You know why that is? And, you know, because sometimes you just want to read them something new, but they almost get fixated on it. My son certainly did. I had a book and I had them do his name in it where he was like a superhero. And I was so happy and proud of myself. But then at the end, Timothy, I'm telling you, it was like, oh, I can't do it. I just can't.
I'll tell you, my daughter seemed to like to have the stories that I disliked the most. She wanted those read to her over and over and over again. And even though at that time I knew nothing about the neural and the brain and the mind development of children, my daughter had shown me over the years that what she wanted, she knew what she needed. And so I just went along with it. And later I found out that when a child's asking for the same story to be read over and over and over again, they're actually picking up something new each time. And it's building a foundation of the story and what that child wants out of the story within their neural networks. Mm-hmm. So each time we're reading it to the child, it really is brand new to them.
Okay. Yeah. There was a book that I used, Good Night Moon. So it's a children's story. It's a children's book to get them to go to sleep. So you tell them in the book, you say goodnight to everything in the room. You say goodnight to their favorite stuffed animal, you know, just goodnight. And literally the words are just goodnight room or good night, whatever, but it ends with good night moon, right? Like that's the last thing that you say good night to. And they know, and she knew then that it was time for me to turn the lights out and to leave the room. But she wanted that book even beyond the years that I thought she should be listening to or wanting to hear that easy story book. It grew to be one of her favorites. We still have that book. I digress.
Oh, you don't digress. I think when we're children, everything is new to us. And what's read to us when we're young, it makes a big impression on us. Mm-hmm. So we continually go back to those things that bring us comfort and we like. So that's awesome that she had a go-to book.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, but let me ask something, though. Since we know and there's been so much research that's told us why reading is so important, particularly to young children, then why would there be resistance from parents or, you know, those with children in their care to reading to them? Do you have any answers for that, Timothy, on that issue?
Boy, if I had an answer for that, I would have the magic bullet for why people don't like to do things that are beneficial for themselves or their children.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Besides reading. It's either a lack of education on behalf of the adult, and they really don't realize how important reading is, and that it forms the basis of a child's creativity, which forms the foundation for their entire life.
Yeah,
you're right.
So yeah, it's letting people know that, you know, you're just not reading a story to put the child to bed. You're actually developing their neural networks. You're allowing them to create images in their mind, and that creativity can be used throughout their life, no matter what they do.
So Timothy, so you've written some books, and we hope you'll share a little bit about that at some point in this conversation, but how do your stories help children navigate our fast-paced, challenging, and rapidly evolving world?
Well, with 88 stories done so far and many more on the drawing board, I cover almost every topic that there is to cover. And it really builds, my books build a foundation for children to mm-hmm. go through life inspired and questioning and developing their full potential.
Mm-hmm. How do your stories help children navigate our fast-paced, challenging, and rapidly evolving world?
Oh, the main character in my books is Blissberry Bear, who comes from the Great Bear constellation in a blue pearl starship.
Mm-hmm.
And so he comes with different perspectives and mm-hmm. gives children different ways of looking at situations that they might not have thought of before, and gives their parents different ways to look at situations. And in fact, an example, not for my stories, but when I saw the title of your podcast, Earrings Off, that made an impression on me, because whenever my mom came home from work, one of the first things she did, plus other women I know, the earrings come off, the shoes come off, and they're in a state of relaxation. And then today on your website, I noticed that you were talking about the inspiration for the title, Earrings Off. And besides the beauty of earrings, there's, for the African-American woman and the African woman, it's a sense of power. So it's like the woman's letting you know that she's in her full power at that point in time. And okay, let's get down to business and don't mess with me. Those are like two opposite things.
Right.
One is relaxed. One is, okay, I'm ready. And we need both of those.
Right.
And children need both of those. So one of the things that my books do too is I don't have pictures on every page. There's a beautiful cover illustration, but it's been proven that, again, back to creating images, when children can picture their own pictures in their mind, create their own images, they're developing their neural network and their ability to imagine in the future. And it also reduces violence in children. But by not having a picture on the page, you can actually develop a conversation with the children. After you go through a couple of pages, you can ask the child, what did you see on that page? What did you feel from that page?
Yeah.
And then the reader can also share what they saw, what they felt. And that might be completely different. So you mm-hmm. might have those two different perspectives, like I just shared about the title, Earrings Off. And it lets children know that people can have different perspectives. They can see two different things from reading the same words. And it allows them to understand that not everybody thinks the way they think.
Right. I like that analogy. Nice.
That's an excellent point. And I appreciate the way that you saw Earrings Off. So just letting you know, I'll be stealing those words about how you phrase that. So we have a recording. So just so you know, I'll be pilfering that. Okay.
That's really great.
So, Timothy, so how can people be a more conscious parent?
Being a conscious parent involves many things, but it really involves learning some basics about raising children, that there are stages of development that children go through. So for instance, 0 to 18 months, 18 months to 3 years, 3 years to 6 years, 6 to 12, 12 to 15. And there's things that children can and are capable of understanding and learning in each of those stages. And if they don't get those learnings, they're actually missing building blocks to continue building their life. So it's important, you know, a common example would be, you can't reason with a two-year-old, because two-year-olds' minds, their brains do not reason. They are not logical. And if we're not taught that as parents, that, you know, we grow up, we're parents, we have kids, all of a sudden it's like, wow, that's just another little person there that should be able to understand what we're asking them to do. And that's not true. So for parents to learn the different stages of child development and what they need to put in at each stage is one thing. And then for parents to realize that when you have children, or anytime actually, you need to be conscious of yourself in each moment. So you need to be conscious of how you're responding to that child, how the tone of your voice is, the words that you're using, the expressions on your face. So we have to have our own stuff handled, or be willing to know that when we get triggered, so that we're not reacting to our children, we're actually responding from a place of love and understanding. So I think those are two of the most main points that I want to make on that. And the other is to just really be present with that child, you know, really be there and know that their actions, their looks, their expressions, they're all saying something to you. And so you just can't listen to the words or watch what they're doing. It's really embracing that full child in that moment, being totally present with them and letting go of your agenda. You have no agenda other than being right with that child in that moment.
Yeah, that's some good stuff there. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, we talked about early, you know, very at the beginning of this conversation about when it's a good time to introduce a reading to children. Well, what about deep breathing? When is it a good time to sit down and as a parent or a guardian to teach the child about deep breathing?
Oh, whenever you get the opportunity to, to remind children, you know, it's like breathing is, it's supposed to be natural. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we have to breathe. For the most part, most adults have lost the ability to breathe naturally. Mm-hmm. So natural breathing is in through the nose and out through the nose. Mm-hmm. But there's sometimes as a child where we had a cold or something, so our nose got stuffed up and we took deep breaths in through our mouth. Or we started breathing because we were upset or afraid of something. So we were taking breaths in through the mouth, hyperventilating instead of calm breaths through the nose. So just retraining children to, and even adults, to breathe in through the nose. And the simplest way to do that is for anybody to just sit in a chair, bend forward, blow all the air out your mouth. And then when you inhale through your nose, the air, because of the position you're in, automatically goes into your abdomen. So you can feel that deep breath go in. You can feel your abdomen expand. You can even feel your back start to expand. So that's a way of retraining the muscles to breathe properly. And I've written probably 7 stories for different age categories with different breathing exercises that are appropriate to each stage. Including one when there's just a baby where the mom is exercising the baby's legs and the baby's hands and stuff and singing a little song about breathing. And so there's all kinds of ways that you can incorporate that into the children's lives.
And, you know, I've actually seen, and we all probably have, videos where they've taught toddlers about the benefits of deep breathing. So when they're about to have a meltdown, they actually practice deep breathing, and you can see them changing and becoming calmer. And it is just something to watch how, you know, they picked up the skill at such a young age that will help them manage stress, you know? Yes. And it's very powerful. Yeah.
It's very powerful. So if children are taught that at a young age where they can notice that they're triggered and they can just take time out, stop, breathe, calm themselves down, and then you can take a different look at things.
Right, right. So what are simple, easy ways to reduce the stress in our bodies and mind?
breathing is one of them. the other way... There's many ways to just relax, whether it's, you know, I developed a course for children called Power Animal Frolics, which is based upon the first exercise, choreographed exercise ever recorded long before Tai Chi, long before yoga. And a doctor in China noticed that most animals in the wild are very healthy. So he put together a set of animal exercises where you basically imitate a crane and a deer and a monkey and a tiger and a bear. And since my character, my main character is Blissberry Bear, and I had a costume made for him by the man who made Disney's original costumes, actually, I had this bear costume, and he also had a deer costume, I noticed. And since one of my favorite Qigong practices is those 5 animal frolics, I decided, well, I've got 2 costumes, so I might as well get 3 more. Plus, I know a dragon exercise and I know a gorilla exercise. So I had 7 costumes made where children can, as I do the Qigong and the yoga movements, to animal costumes. So that's another way that children can get the relaxation and also the exercise that their bodies need. And it also gives them the tools to control their body, learn how to breathe naturally, learn how to relax, and learn the qualities of the different animals so they can bring those qualities into their life. And I couldn't find a crane costume, so I had an eagle costume made because everybody loves eagles.
Well, I tell you, Teresa and I both do yoga, and so we know the benefits of deep breathing. But sometimes when you talk to people about that, you get like the eye roll, like, I'm already breathing. Or that's just not, you know, that's not that beneficial. So sometimes it's hard for people to understand that there is really there are a lot of serious benefits to that and meditation. Do you get that kind of reaction from people?
I do. And that's why I give people that exercise of bending over in a chair and learning to rebreathe deep into their belly.
Yeah.
And if people are willing to practice even just for a week, 3 times a day, they will notice that they're calmer.
Yeah.
And, you know, things like yoga. You know, I noticed when I was teaching Tai Chi classes, the senior citizen classes that I taught, I think out of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of seniors that I taught, maybe only one senior actually didn't complete the class. they would stay with it. But the classes that I taught in churches and recreation centers, where there was a whole range of ages that I was teaching to, especially the 25 to 45-year-olds and even 18-year-olds, the movements of yoga, the movements of Tai Chi are so slow, and they go so against what we're used to in this fast-paced society.
Right, right.
That it makes people very uncomfortable.
That is
so sick. They have to get beyond that uncomfortableness to discover the comfortableness.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Of doing the yoga. And So even with children, it's a matter of when you're trying something new, stay with it long enough to make sure that you actually know whether you like it or dislike it.
Right, right.
And give something a chance. Don't just go from the fact that you're not feeling real good right off the bat with it, because it's going to take some time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, those practices certainly are counter to, you know, how we live now in society. Always we have to be doing something. So there's always a goal, you know, and you're almost made to feel guilty or abnormal if you're not at that pace. So, yeah.
When we slow down, we actually get more done. If somebody had told me when I started meditating 45 years ago that I would be able to control my mind and have my mind only think when I want it to, I would have said, you're crazy. But after doing the practices for so long, that's what happens. So my mind is quiet. And when my mind is quiet, I get information and I tune into the harmony of the universe. And So the answers that I need just come to me. I don't have to think about them. So we actually get more done by having a less active mind that is receptive to the harmony of the universal flow or God's flow or whatever you want to call it.
Well, that's so true, because now I still struggle with the monkey brain. You know, I still struggle trying to keep it quiet and stay focused or just to not, you know, have thoughts for it to be free. But sometimes I do experience that. And when I do, there are things that I've been trying to figure out that will just come to me. It's like the answer is right there. And I think it's because I am now quiet enough to hear it or to know. But I still, I get easily distracted. So I haven't been practicing nearly as long as you, but I'm getting better. So
lot of the, a lot of the greatest inventions and the greatest ideas people have had, you know, they've done their educational work. They have the knowledge. They've been working on developing something over and over and over again. And there's something that's just not clicking. They haven't quite got the magic formula down. And then they leave it. They leave the office. They go out. They take a walk in nature. And there's the answer.
It's when we
relax ourselves and just open up. We have the knowledge, we have the education that we've done, and then we just open up to allowing the universe to provide the answer, and it comes. And in order to calm monkey mind down, the quickest way I know is to whatever phrase or whatever word has the highest vibration to you, whether it's God, Christ, Buddha, Om, whatever that is, if you just repeat that over and over and over again, when you're not having to think about anything else specifically, that trains the mind to think about what you want it to think about. And it feels good. It inspires you because you're thinking about something that's very uplifting to you.
Okay.
That makes a lot of sense. Can you continue with that a little bit and just speak to people who might not know what it is to meditate? Like, what are some ways that people can learn to meditate? And then for those who do meditate, you've hinted toward it a little bit in this conversation. How can they deepen their meditation? So two parts, introduction and then deepen for those who, how can people deepen their experience when they meditate that are already meditating?
Well, introduction, when I was introduced to meditation, I was a certified public accountant. I was very busy. It was very strange to me. And so I actually set a kitchen timer and I started with 2 minutes, literally just 2 minutes. And after a week, I felt better. So I went to 5 minutes. And after another couple of weeks, I was feeling better. So I doubled it to 20 minutes. And eventually I got it to 30 minutes and then 30 minutes twice a day. But I started gradually. And that's with a sitting meditation. And that's just as simple as sitting, observing your breath, watching the breath flow in and out, repeating a mantra, whatever word or phrase that you want to help quiet your mind. And if your mind starts thinking, you bring it right back to the mantra. And that's a simple way to meditate. You can meditate throughout the day by being present. So if I get up out of this chair and I walk into the kitchen, I'm not thinking about what I did sitting in this chair, and I'm not thinking about what I'm going to do in the kitchen. I'm actually focusing at the soles of my feet and feeling my body walk from place to place without thinking. So you can literally meditate and focus on exactly what you're doing. And that's meditation. So if you're doing the dishes, you're listening to the water, you're feeling the temperature of the water, you're actually feeling the plates and the dishes and the silverware. You're not thinking about what you're going to do when you're done with the dishes. So by just being present in each moment and focused on what you're doing, that's a form of meditation. And deepening meditation, for me, I think that's just meditating on a consistent basis, day in, day out, and that will take you deeper and deeper and deeper.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for that.
Well, those are all of the questions that we have for you today. So we certainly, though, want to give you an opportunity if you have some parting words for our audience. And in those parting words, if you could share information about, you know, where folks can find your books, your website, and anything else you want to share so that folks will know how they may be able to follow up with you. And thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, my website is Timothy Stutz, the name Timothy Stutz, STUETZ.com. And there's a freebie tab in the menu item where I have meditations for people just starting, meditations if you've been meditating for 40 years. There's some free fairy tales for children, some free songs for children, free Qigong exercises for every member of the family. There's a webinar I just finished putting together. It's called Three Magic Wands for More Creative, Happier, and Empowered Children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it was Teresa earlier mentioned the book, that book club. And I've put together a book club that's not only for children, but it's for parents. So it includes all of the 88 stories that I've written in audio and written form. It includes a monthly story time for children. It also includes a build a book project where children get to that story we read each month. Children create their own images for what's happening on the pages and send them to me.
Nice.
And then I create an illustrated book from the children's illustrations. Mm-hmm. And that book club also has 2 monthly meetings for parents so that parents have support in their lives. And even if it's just a place to come and get quiet a couple of times a month, or ask questions and get support from other parents.
Well, thank you so much. I wanted to follow up. I apologize. I don't know. Again, thank you so much for joining us here today, Timothy, on Earrings Off. We certainly wish you all the best, and we look forward to this being a benefit to our audience. So thanks again, and you take good care.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been lovely to be with you. And thank you so much for offering this service to people to connect in and find different ways to improve their lives.
Oh, thank you.
All right, take good care.